The title of my sermon today is, What's in a Name? Let us begin with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are the one who strengthens us and the one who saves us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Several weeks ago, our family watched the movie Troop Zero. It's a comedy, and it's a story of some misfit kids in the South back in maybe the 60s who formed a Bernie Scout troop. Now, there was already a troop in their school, but these girls were not welcomed in that troop. So one of the girls, Christmas Flint, decides to start one and invites these misfit girls to join her. Now they needed a troop mom. Well, Christmas did not have a mom. But her dad's secretary, Miss Raylene, played by Viola Davis, is pressured into becoming the troop leader by her dad, Ramsey, who was a lawyer who can't seem to win any cases. Now, the names of the girls spoke volumes about them as people. I've already mentioned Christmas. We never really hear why she's called Christmas, but her dad calls her Boss, because he would do anything for her because of the fact that she did not have a mother. And then there was Hell No Price, who was the rebel, and basically said hell no to just about everything. There was Smash, who beat up anyone who did not agree with her or got into her face. And there was the boy, Joseph, who was more Josephine than Joseph, and was happy as a boy to be in a girl's scout troop. And the last was Anne Claire. Now, Anne Claire couldn't see out of one of her eyes, so she wore a patch over it, and she was always reciting Bible passages. She was the most prim of the misfits, which is why her name seems normal. Their name said volumes about who they were. You know, in our day and age, it's hard to imagine names saying anything about us, because often now people will buy a book of baby names in the grocery store and pick out the name for their babies. Or they have family names that have been handed down for generations in their family. Every generation in Mike Peters' family, you can find a John or Mary, or both. My brother got the name John, and I was named for my dad's stepbrother, my Uncle Tom. My brother's middle name was Fentress, and my middle name of Tucker were both my mother's father's name, Fentress Tucker. Names, while they don't say much about who we are still very important to us. I think we've all heard throughout our life about the importance of having a good name, a respected name. And then there are the names that others give us. Remember how when we were growing up, we would be called names by people who didn't like us, or we would call others names that they didn't like. And when we were called names, we would often say something like, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And yet, we were so wrong. Names do hurt us. Lutheran pastor, the Reverend Dr. David Loos, writes about this. As most of us have learned over the years, of course, names do hurt. whether they are names we have been called by others or those that we have called ourselves. Names hurt a lot. You know what I mean. Names that exaggerate our inadequacies or herald our failures. Names that expose our weaknesses or pay tribute to bad decisions. We wear these names on our backs like a snail does its shell, dragging them with us into each new episode, encounter, or chapter of our lives. I say all of this because this is where we find Jacob in our story today from the book of Genesis. Jacob has, to this point, been a scoundrel. He swindled his brother Esau out of his birthright and the father's blessing for the firstborn that should have gone to Esau. And in fear, he escapes to his uncle Laban because he's afraid his brother Esau will come after him or hurt him. And when he gets to Uncle Laban, there he has to go head-to-head with his equally devious uncle, squabbling and double-dealing over everything from wives to livestock. And so after a number of years, he has to take off again for fear. And so he leaves with his wives and all of his livestock and decides to go back to the land that he grew up in. And on his way, he had sent word to his brother Esau that he was coming back. And then he gets very fearful because he hears from a scout that Esau is coming to him with 400 men. Now, I think if you're like me, we hear this story and secretly we kind of hope that Jacob is going to get his comeuppance for all of his shenanigans. In fact, we often wonder, how can God's history of God's people go through such a scoundrel as Jacob? And it's at this point then that the story takes a very dramatic and important turn. After sending all of his wives and all of his livestock and slaves to the other side of the river for safety, he stays back and waits for his brother and the 400 men. And in the night, someone comes to him and he wrestles with him. And we are led to believe that it is God that he is wrestling with. And Jacob proves to be a fighter and hangs on until just before daybreak. And this mystery person knocks him in the hip, and Jacob's hip goes out of joint so that he limps for the rest of his life. Jacob hangs on and asks for a blessing. Instead of a blessing, though, God gives Jacob a new name. The old name was Jacob, and wrapped up in that name was all of the scandalous ways of the old Jacob. And God gives Jacob the name Israel, one who has wrestled with God and people and prevailed. No more does he have to carry the old baggage of what his old name represented. Everything has become fresh and new for him. And he is then able to meet his brother Esau, and the two embrace, and the past is finished and gone. How many times have we wished that we could have a new name and leave all the past behind and begin anew? But my brothers and sisters, we have been given a new name. And it happened for the first time on the banks of the Jordan River centuries later after the story of Jacob. When Jesus walked out of the river after his baptism. As Reverend Dr. Lowe says, at baptism, you see, that is just what happens as we are given through water and the word the name of Christ. It's where the popular word christening comes from. Way before we used this word to name ships or homes or churches, it described holy baptism, the place where we were quite literally Christ-ened, given the name of Christ and God's promise to regard us always as Christ. So let us confess those names that we've been called and call ourselves the names that haunt us at night and pursue us during the day. We are called, that is, to share our fears and our failures, our setbacks and our disappointments, our resentments and our regrets. We are called to confess so that we might hear God's response. No, this is not the whole story. You are more than you can believe. In fact, to me, you are Christ, God says. Imagine. Believe that in baptism you have God's promise to regard and to treat you always as God's beloved children, even as God's own beloved child. But that's what we are. And so after we've died in our confessing, we are raised to new life as God names us anew and calls us to life and love and abundance and grace. Names do hurt, sometimes very much. But they can also heal and help and raise to new life. Can you claim that new life? Can you see yourself as God's beloved child? That's what you are. No matter what baggage you have brought with you to the present, you can claim God's blessing of a new name. God does not care about what has happened in the past, only what happens today and in the future. You've heard me say, perhaps, that God is the God of second chances, of third chances, and as many chances as we need. Like the misfits of Bertie Scout Troop Zero, who came together in a powerful way in the end and became a band of beloved scouts, we can do the same. I would challenge you to put someplace where you will see it every day, the statement, I have the name of a beloved child of God. And let that percolate through your life, your days, your months, your years. And allow yourself to be transformed in new and wonderful ways. Because you can leave all of that old baggage in the past. Thanks be to God. Amen.